every time we bring our offerings to during our worship time, they're just symbolic of, yes, my life is an offering, as the song was saying. And that, thank you so much for your faithful giving. I don't know if you've watched the back of the bulletin, but we finished the year $350 in the black. And that's, praise God for that. Thank you for your generosity. But it's as unto Him, you know. It's when we understand our life's an offering, our money is just part of that. And we bring that to say, thank you, God. We know everything we have comes from you. How many were able to go to the picnic yesterday? Was that pretty cool? That was a good time, huh? I mean, look at the weather yesterday. It was absolutely gorgeous. And that's what makes you want to stay in Hong Kong and never leave when the weather's that way. But it's far and few between, I know. But it was, yesterday was one of those perfect weather days, cool breeze, beautiful sunshine, blue skies. But you know, to get from my house to the park over right beyond Mui Wah, Lam Shan Country Park, to get there, I had to go through a bunch of doors. Kids, do you have any doors you have to walk through? Did anybody walk through any doors today? What kind of doors do you walk through? We got your door to your house, right? You had to open that door and go through that door, right? How many of you have elevator doors? Did anybody go through an elevator door today? Okay. How many went through a bus door? Anybody go right on a bus door? Any train doors out there? There's some train doors in Hong Kong. And you know, they've got these doors even on the ferries. When you get the big ferries, you know, it has a little ramp. That's got a door, right? You know, that's a door. There's doors all over the place. And every door I've mentioned so far, except for the door to my home, I never had that. I think by the time I was most of your young people's age, I might have rode a taxi one time in my whole life. A taxi door. They have doors, right? I never rode an MTR. A train? I never rode a train. I have now in America. I have in San Francisco Bay Area. But I was thinking, I never rode a train. Well, I'll take that back. There's a choo-choo train I rode. Okay, a little small one. We go through all doors. Well, today we're going to talk about some special doors. It's called gospel doors. And gospel doors aren't doors you can see with your eyes, but they're really doors. They're things that open and close where we can talk about the gospel. And I'd like us to look at that. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts 16, verses 6 through 15. We've been doing a study through the book of Acts, if you're new to our church, and going piecemeal by piecemeal, verse by verse, through the book of Acts. And we see that Acts is a recording of God's Holy Spirit, of what Holy Spirit does through His people in spreading the gospel. In history, yes, we see its beginnings, and it's still today the Holy Spirit using His people to spread the gospel. So we're up to Acts 16. This is where we find ourselves this morning. And one thing we're going to learn about gospel doors, that they are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Some of our automatic doors have sensors, but usually I think Welcome has automatic doors, and they have a visual sensor that senses movement, and the doors open and shut. Creative Bakery, you have to push that one. I think there's some other restaurants around here, you have to push this button and with your finger. You have to have a touch in order to make it open. It doesn't open by just sensing movement. But gospel doors are controlled by the Holy Spirit. And you'll see that just like regular doors, the Holy Spirit opens and He closes. And our scriptures today begin with an example of closed doors. In verse 6 through 7, this is in Acts, it says, "And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them." Paul and Silas and Timothy joined them, and Derbe and Lystra, and probably going over to Iconium, where Timothy had some origins there, and they were at Iconium, and they're wondering, what do we do next? If we go due west, if we go left coast, if you will, we go left, that's going to take us into Asia. If we go north, that's going to take us into Bithynia. What they called Asia then Middle East. It's not quite Europe, and it's certainly not the Asia as we think of Asia, being India and beyond, coming our way to China and the rest of Southeast Asia. Well, Asia in the Bible is a different name, but it was named by the Romans as Asia, but it's not Europe. It's Middle Eastern area there. When they come up to Mysia and they attempted to go into Bithynia, that's going north. That's going more up to, I can't think of the modern country right now. I'm going blank. Steve, do you know Bithynia? Okay, anyway, we're not Europe, we're still Middle Eastern areas, okay? And they conglomerate that into two areas, one called Asia, one called Bithynia. And so you got this thing I'm seeing in my mind up north, that door closes, and to the west, going to Asia, said no. How did the door close? Scripture doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us. But it was forbidden by the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Those are said clearly. How does that work? Well, the door was closed. When the Holy Spirit closes the door, you just can't go forward. Now, Bonnie and I, when we first entered missions, we felt God wanted us to go to Japan. Well, that door closed on us. I can tell you in about 2 hours how that happened, but it's a long story. But the door closed. In some ways, we could, if Kim doesn't mind me using the illustration, the door closed for her in Hong Kong, and one is opening in Singapore. You know this is of the will of God, and it becomes very clear. And your movements and my movements, where I live and work, we can see how God directs. But there was a closed door for these guys in Asia and Bithynia. And no matter how hard you try, when there's a closed door, the Holy Spirit has closed that door. You can't open it, okay? So don't press it. Now, open doors are talked about in verses 8 through 10. And so passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. Now, just passing, that's 400 miles on foot. I did a 30-minute or so hike yesterday with some people up to the country park. Some of you are avid hikers. Bonnie and I, we like to go for walks, but she doesn't normally like to go over 2 hours. You know, 2 hours is enough. 400 miles, that's going to take us a day or two, right? You figure out 400 miles. If you do 20 miles a day, that's very, very good. So you figure out, you do the math. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Anybody have a good dream last night? Any good dreams out there? I don't see bad dreams. Any good dreams? Jody had a good dream. Olivia had a good dream. Anybody else? Good dreams? That's good. You know, it's great to have a good dream, right? Well, I think this is a good dream. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. He could have been awake and then he sees something, or he could be sleeping and he's having this vision in his dream. I'll let you decide. But it's the vision you got to look at. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, who is it? Is it a boy? Is it a girl? Is it a woman? It's what? A man. A man of Macedonia. What do they look like? I have no idea. But Paul evidently did in his dream. He knew this was a man with Macedonia. You know, if I had somebody in a blue soccer kit from London saying, "James, come over," and I saw, it was CFC written up here, I guess I'd know who that was, right? I knew that was Chelsea Football Club. I would go there. Evidently, what was here was a guy who looked like someone very recognizable from that area. Now, we're talking Europe now. Macedonia, the gateway to Europe. Urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. A lot of things we can see going on here is that when the Holy Spirit opens a door, he wants you to be a part of it. He's not going to play peekaboo with you, but he will close some, and when you go and see those are closed, and then you say, well, what's next? And then he will show you. And he did this for Paul, and he said, come over to Macedonia and help us, this man. The reason I'm saying man, I'm going to contrast it to who he ends up preaching the gospel to in Macedonia. This man says, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately, there's a we there, I put it in white, we sought to go on to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. The man writing this scripture is Luke. Luke wrote Luke and Acts, and in the originals, it's one book. Now, Luke is saying we. He's joining the team now, and historians tell us that Luke came from Philippi, and that's where they're going to end up. But they concluded, as they got together, and say, now, is Paul a little too charismatic for us? I mean, he had the vision. I didn't get the vision. What's going on here? Well, let's talk things over. And then they made this conclusion. You know, God's definitely shut the door north and shut the door west. And what's open is this vision that Paul's saying, come over. And God had called us to preach the gospel to them. This man is called here. He was urging him. Yesterday at the picnic, a little guy named Nathan. Is Nathan here this morning? I don't see Nathan, but Nathan catches James. When are we gonna start playing soccer, football, what we call it? When are we gonna start playing football? Can we start before we eat? I said, no, maybe after we eat, you know. And he came up. Have you finished eating yet? You know, can we start? You know, when can we start? Strong word is begging. Please come over. And so Paul had this vision, this dream, whatever it was so impressionable. And then when he talked over with his team, they said, yeah, this is God's doing. Let's go. He's called us to do what? To preach the gospel. To proclaim Christ. To lift up Jesus. To help people see that he is the Messiah and he is the way for abundant life on this planet and he is the way to eternal life in heaven. God has called us together with Paul to preach the gospel to them. It's a team effort. It's not just the pastor going. It's not just the missionary going. It's this whole team. We have been called by God to preach the gospel to them. So an open door. And when that door is open, you understand that it's beautiful, it's very clear, that this is the way that God has led. And when you look at the gospel doors to China, closed for many years and centuries, and then it opened in the 1850s, God used many people. One person he used was a man named Hudson Taylor to take the gospel into the mainland. And then with change in political scenario of communism rising to power, missionaries were no longer accepted. They had to all exit. And many of our generation, when I say myself and Steve Torgerson and Mary Lee, when we came to Hong Kong to minister, we were thinking of, will there ever be a springboard into China? And then we began to see it was very, very dark. We didn't know how things were going to happen. There was a lot of fear when the handover came. We didn't know what was going to happen. A lot of people left Hong Kong and went to different places. They thought we were going to be restricted, but no, we have freedom. And to see how God has opened up this big door for the China church, for the Hong Kong church to go into China. And so we have various organizations and ministries. We have China Care International. We have SALT Ministries. We have our own church denomination, the Evangelical Free Church. Many, many avenues and open doors that I think if you talk to some of us who've been involved in missions in China, we would say we could not imagine. We could never have dreamt this 20, 25 years ago. These doors have opened. It's very clear that God opened them. So once they've had that vision, they're starting over on the right of the screen. That's Troas. And then they make a straight line as possible. None of this 400 miles of walking by land and going a long way around. No, they go straight as possible because why? They've heard the voice saying, please come. This is God calling you. Please come over to Macedonia. And then Philippi is their city of destination in the area called Macedonia, which is modern Europe for us. So gospel doors are controlled by the Holy Spirit. They involve places, actual geographical areas, but they also, most of all, it's people that we're looking at. So let's see what happens in verse 11 through 13. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage. Again, they're going to Macedonia. They have to go by way of Samothrace and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, where Paul saw this man in his dream say, come. And a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women. There's no Macedonian men mentioned. They spoke to the women who had come together. Now, unlike many of the areas they had traveled before, on the first missionary journey, there was a good congregation of Jewish believers. And Paul would first go to the synagogues and present the gospel. And from there, we'd see people would believe. And then they would also meet resistance, yes, from very hardcore Jewish people who resisted to the gospel. But in this situation, in Philippi, there's not this group of Jewish believers. So there's no synagogue to go to. History books tell us that for different cities, if they could have at least 10 male believers, then they could start a synagogue. So if there are men, God-fearers here, people who worship the God of Moses, who know the Old Testament, those people, if there were men there, they were less than 10, and they would often go down to the riverside, to outside of a city, and there they would collect and meet and pray together. And this is what's happening in Philippi, a group of women down by the sea. This is one artist's picture of it. So we know Silas and Timothy is there. I don't see Luke in this picture, but we got three guys here and the women. How many, we don't know. But this is kind of what happened. Where's that guy I had the vision of? Gospel doors are heart doors. Verse 14 through 15. Has anybody seen a heart door? You know... Kids, how many of you, your parents said, would you let Jesus come into your heart? Has anybody ever heard that? Let Jesus come into your heart? I believe you. Let Jesus come in our heart. You know, how big is that heart? You know, where's the little door? How does Jesus come in? You know, Jesus must be really tiny if he can come in here. You know? But we're talking about something that's spirit, right? And this is one artist's conception of what a heart door looks like. And it's a person. We're not just talking about places and traveling and but going to these hearts of people. And one who heard us was a woman. A woman named Lydia. I think it's very ironic that Asia, which the Roman government had called that province Asia, was formerly known as Lydia, a place of travail. She's from the city of Thyatira, which is where? In Asia. The door to Asia had closed, but Paul goes over answering and responding to the vision to go to Macedonia. And who does he meet? Is a lady from Asia. She's from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods. Does anybody know a seller of purple goods? That's kind of strange, isn't it? I'm looking around. We got some purple out there today. That's pretty good, ladies. Any guys with purple on? I don't see. Hey, Nahum's got a purple on. Yeah, well done. So we got some purple, but you look around, you see some ladies in purple. We just take it for granted, you know, colors and dyes and all this stuff. And I think Brent Wallace deals with colors and for cars and all that kind of stuff. But you know, colors for fabrics, it seems so easy. But in that history, in that point in time, you just didn't go buy colors. You got the white wool, you got the black wool, you got the white cotton, you got the linens, the flax, and then how do you add the colors to that? And where did you get purple? Well, historians are telling us, and archaeologists, that the way they got their purple color was from shellfish. Have you guys ever killed a squid? Probably not, right? Is there some purple dye in that stuff? Some purple junk in that when you kind of get rid of it? Different shellfish and urchins and stuff, you know, you can get this different dyes, these purple. Well, that's what they had to get to mix in with their fabrics to get purple fabrics. And you know who wore purple? Were the very wealthy. There's going to be scriptures later on that would indicate that Lydia even had an inroad into the Roman emperor's house. She's a woman who sold purple goods. She's from Asia. She sells purple goods, which means that they're very, it's a very lucrative business. It's a very high-end textile business. But, more important, she was a worshiper of God. How she came to hear about the God of the Old Testament, I don't know. The God who created, the God who made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who fulfilled those promises in building a people whom Moses delivered out of Egypt and then gave them a promised land, and who were looking for the Messiah. She had heard these things. But it says in the white letters, you can see that. Can everybody help me read that, the white letters? The Lord. Yeah. The Lord opened her heart. You and I cannot reason ourselves to faith. We do have to make reasonable choices. We have to make decisions. But you and I, just as Lydia, at one point when we came to real faith in Christ, no longer trusting in us and our works, our being good people, we trust only in Christ and His goodness, knowing that He died for my sinfulness and that He who knew no sin became sin so that I might become one, the righteousness of God. When that really clicks for me, that happened because God opened my heart. And God opened your heart. God opened Lydia's heart. To pay attention to what was said by Paul, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through Him. Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. And she responds to Paul's message. And you and I, when we came to faith, there was someone out there sharing the Word of God with us, the Gospel. And so we're not ashamed of the Gospel. It is the power of salvation for all who believe. And so when we hear that and we pay attention to the Gospel being proclaimed, Holy Spirit comes in, God, and opens my heart. And I'm born again. And after she was baptized in her household as well, she urged us saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. In other words, she didn't take no for an answer. And they stayed a while at Lydia's home, which is probably a very nice home. Instantly baptized. By the way, most baptisms in the New Testament that I see, they are instantaneous. I haven't talked this over with my elders, but I shared an article with them. You know, like maybe every time we have our baptism, I do open up and say, okay, does anybody want to be baptized today, even though you haven't been through baptism class? We talk to you, make sure you understand, you know, what faith alone and Christ alone really means. About 50 or 60 years after the early church was formed, after Christ's death, then they began to do the didache. It's an old historical document, shows us that there was pre-baptism training. So this tradition of pre-baptism training is not a bad one. It's a good one, and that's what we practice here. Before we baptize, we want to make sure that an individual, whether they're young or old, knows who Christ is and what he did for them on the cross. And has a real relationship, as far as we can discern humanly, in following him. But here it was instantaneous for Lydia. And then, of course, one evidence I think that is very, very evident. By the way, there's no new members classes for the early church. There's baptism. you become a member through baptism. That's it. You're part of the body. All right? I love it. So pure, so simple. But an evidence of Christ in you and me is our love and care for each other. This morning I was praying with someone and they were commenting in their prayers how beautiful it is to see the fellowship we have together. I can think about, I don't know how many meals I had last week with my friends in Christ. Cups of coffee, breakfasts, lunches, barbecues. It's just to be gracious and hospitable with one another. It's part and parcel of following Christ. So Lydia's heart was open, a real person, just like you and I. And she was baptized. Now, boys and girls, if you've been paying attention, here's a quiz. Okay, we're going to have an exam. What's wrong with this picture? Just a little something. Does anybody know? Scripture told us Lydia was baptized, right? She and her household, right? Where's the household? I don't know. Maybe they're back in the background here out of the photographer's range. But boys and girls were probably baptized as well. All right. How young, how old, we can speculate. But her whole household came to faith and was baptized. How many of you have been baptized? Great. How many of you want to be baptized? Great. We'll talk later. That's good. Baptism just says, I believe. My heart has been made clean by Christ's saving work. And I want the world to know. And I want to lift Jesus high by my life. And I come and be baptized. And I'm going to follow you. So Lydia and her whole household that day were baptized. Okay, application, all right? Is your heart door open? I remember God's the one who opens the door. And you know, this is kind of like the world behind me, the cross before me, Christ before me. It begins to make sense. Why am I on this planet? Some of my friends have died tragically. Some have died young. Some have died old. But I do know I'm going to die too. What am I here for? Christ gives the answer to meaning and purpose of life. And I know as a young person, as a teenager, I tried all kinds of things trying to fill my life full of meaning. And it just left me flat. It left me with a hole in my heart and my life. So pleasure cannot fill it. But Christ can go beyond pleasure and show me what it means to really know Him and have a relationship with God. How about your heart? Is your heart door open? For those of us in Christ, we say, yes, I can remember the day when my heart opened and Christ really got a hold of me. I know that. But there might be someone here this morning and you're just trying to figure out, how does this whole thing with Christ start? Just check out inside. What's going on in your heart right now? So the application is very important for each one of us, just like it was for Lydia that day down by the river outside the gates of Philippi. Maybe it might be for you in DC College Theater in Discovery Bay. God opens the heart. So is your heart door open? But for us as Christians, as a community of faith, what gospel doors are opening for you? How many go to school? Anybody go to school? Weren't you glad when they said unto you, let us go to school? How many of you like to go to work? Get ready, it's coming tomorrow, right? Tuesday's a holiday, I think. But Monday, most of us have to go to work. Okay, what's happening? There's different doors of opportunities and people to interact with who don't know Jesus yet. And some of those people will be very receptive, some will not be. And we begin to see at these doors in school and work. Who is it that you want me to share Christ with, Holy Spirit? What doors have you opened? And to keep this kind of a heart and sensitivity. Your friends. Yeah. You know, who you hang out with. You know, there's some friends who say, don't talk to me about Jesus. But there's others that say, yeah, I've been asking, I got some questions for you. I know you go to church and stuff. What about this? Hobbies. You know, you're going to go through a bunch of doors to get onto the tennis court. But there might be some of your tennis friends who really are open. I had an unusual friend. I had a kind of this prayer list of people to pray for who I play football with. And it just doesn't seem like anything's clicking. You know, I share, I get it here and there, and it doesn't seem to go. And then I'm in the Thai Pak pub, the recreation club, having a meal watching a Liverpool game, and this guy comes in who's played football with me, and then he starts pouring out his heart about Jesus. You know, he has these questions and stuff, and man, I was so glad I SMS and people say, come on over here and help me, and then things kind of shut down everything. But to make a long story short, that window of opportunity opened, I didn't expect it. Somebody I played football with. Lift Jesus high. I'm going to do His banner. Where are you going to do it? At work? At school? With your friends? Those you play with? In your neighborhood? Where am I going to do it? Okay. DBICC Gospel Doors. Okay, guys, we talked about one. Weird animals. Now, I think I've got the ages mixed up on this. Somebody please help me on the ages. I think, what, do they have to be 5 to start this? 5, okay. 5 years old. Okay, if there's someone 5 years old, that's why I know I was thinking about my neighbor. She's only 3, and she's a handful. I don't know. Okay, 5 years old. 5 years old and 11. If they're 13, we'll send them to Roberto. Okay. 5 to 11, I think it's about that kind of range, I think. It's coming back. Invite your friends. Those of you who are 5 to 11,
Sam. Hi, Sam. You're between 5 and 11, right? How old are you, 6? Okay. And I think Alex will be 8 or 9 soon. All you guys are in that category, right? Just invite your friends to come to Weird Animals. And that's where we try to proclaim Christ to young people. I don't think my elder Martin Ray would mind me embarrassing him, but it's through a youth program here, a VBS, that attracted him to come to the church, and then he came to faith. Good Catholic background, but not really having his heart opened by the Holy Spirit and to God until he came here, and is indirectly related to VBS. So invite your neighbors and see which hearts the Holy Spirit has opened up for that. DBICC mission projects. What in the world's that all about? Well, at the end of August, we've been invited again by China Care International to do something. And it looks like this time it'll be Mongolia. How many of you are expert solar panel installers now? Xiaoning, raise your hand. You're one. Okay, if you guys went last year, you know, you use a pair of pliers and a screwdriver and you put these solar panels on top of the school, and then they've got some electrical source of power, and they can run computers in their schools. What a great witness that we care about your schools. Along with that, we have, independent of what we do, we have local church proclaiming Christ. Great time to get involved. So if you don't know what you're going to do, what I call Labor Day in the American version, September the 1st, that weekend, what are you going to do? Mark that aside, and hopefully we'll have a little group going to Mongolia. And thank you, Brenda Covington and Robbie, getting everything ready for us for that trip. Other opportunities. We're looking at different ways to go to different people groups through our Medicare, which is a missions group through the Evangelical Free Church, China. Some opportunities that very excited me is reaching a Muslim minority group, and where we can do continuous revisiting. So stay tuned, look at it, pray about it, and see, are these doors opening where you can become involved? Do you remember, how many went to the AGM, first of all, if you guys are here? Some of this might be just foreign. Can you raise your hand? I want to see how many we got, AGM guys. Okay. For those of you who did not go to AGM, there was a lady from our church named Jane Wilson. And she encouraged that we have mission boxes. And in those mission boxes, we put aside our coins. And I want to start announcing it. This is May 4th, the first Sunday in May, that you would start doing that as a family. We don't have any particular type of box for you. I've got a can. And I put it in a safe place. It's a cookie can, and I think actually Sandy, you gave it to Bonnie. It's a beautiful cookie can, and a candy or something was in there. And you just throw your coins in there, okay? Next time will be June the 1st. We have a family thing, right? I like us to bring our cans and our boxes with our coins, and then we'll put it in a big one here, and. Lord have mercy on the counters, okay. But you're going to see little as much when God's in it. Now, how are we going to use these monies? Well, these monies are only to be used for mission projects. I don't know what doors the Holy Spirit's going to open for us, but I believe He will, and the simple little step of faith will show us ways in which we can become more involved in mission. So a Nike shoebox or an Adidas shoebox, whatever, a shoebox, a can, something. Throw your coins in there. James, I've been saving my coins for years. I got this great big jar of stuff. That's great. Bring in that big jar. Little ways.
Now, this is, I'm talking to big people now. Little people, I think you're going to have a chance also to give in VBS and a special mission project. But you can throw your coins and your change in with mom and dad's change and then put that together as a family and pray over it and ask God to use it. I believe this is an opening door for your family and for mine.
Your children. Elizabeth is not the disciple maker of your children. Amy Bramley is not the discipleship maker. And the teens ministries, I can name everybody involved in teen ministry. We just help supplement. The disciple makers are you. The ones who talk the gospel, who how to apply gospel life values. That's you. Parents, your children are your open door. And of course, as I shared earlier, your friends. Friends and family. God has given you these relationships. They're yours. And he's done it for a special reason that lasts forever and ever. It's this eternal significance. Knowing what we know now, if we could travel back in time and we could go to South Korea and say to those guys getting on that ferry, hey, look, don't go out right now. This thing is overloaded. It's going to tilt. Something's wrong. Something bad's wrong going to happen. Don't do it. And you know, we would do everything in our power to keep that ferry from debarking, right, or going out, sailing out. Terrible deaths, right? Every one of our friends, every one of our family members are headed to a worse destiny than drowning without Christ. How can we not but share the gospel? Now remember, there's certain doors going to be open, certain hearts are going to be closed, certain ones are going to be open, and that's where we have to just walk with Jesus and be ready and willing and looking. As I mentioned in my prayer, Tom's young is from Vietnam. He was born there, but as an early age, he emigrated to Canada. He wasn't raised with his family in Vietnam. A brother recently died. If you'd like to know more about that, I'll let you talk to Tom about it. But Tom's biggest prayer request when he came to me, he said, James, just pray that God would use me to speak to my family. The claims of Christ and the gospel. I haven't even seen Tom just until this morning. But that's what I'm looking at. And I'm asking myself, do I even care about gospel doors? Am I so busy doing my thing that I just forget that there are these doors? These gospel doors? Okay, you don't make it open. God opens them. And I guarantee you that among your friends and even strangers, completely, out of the blue, people will come up to you. But I want you and I, right now, boys and girls, moms and dads, just ask, God, are there some open doors out there? I know there must be. James is saying this, yeah, but this is what the Word of God teaches. He opens the doors. He opens Lydia's heart. The question is, are we looking for it? Let's pray.
Father, those of us who know you through Jesus Christ are so grateful. We're so thankful that you at one time opened our heart that we would believe. Father, forgive me. And I think I can say forgive my friends here this morning too. And we are just so insensitive. We do not care. We do not even look for gospel doors. It's a spirit thing. And Holy Spirit, I need you to fill me. I need you to fill my friends here and use us collectively, but use us individually. But the Lydias you have in our life, men, boys and girls you have in our circle of life in DB, in Hong Kong, where we work, where we play, where we go to school, that we would be open to speak of Jesus. And so I pray, Lord, pray right now that you would bless Weird Animals, not for DBICC's sake, but for your sake. That you would bless this little as much missions giving to touch lives for your name's sake and open hearts. So Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be part of your great mission, just like you allowed Paul and Silas, Timothy and Luke, Lydia, and we'll see the team begin to expand as we go through this second missionary journey. Thank you again for your truth. Thank you. We can celebrate you, the living Christ, as we turn our hearts now to Holy Communion. As in Christ's name we pray.